We thank the Lord for giving us this opportunity to come your way. This day we are grateful to God for all that he does for us and all that he is for us. I want to briefly talk to you about what I've entitled Stir Up the Gifts. Stir Up the Gifts. I believe that everyone here has been blessed with a gift. Everybody here has been blessed with a gift. Everyone has been blessed with a gift. And so you are not an ordinary person. God has intentionally deposited some things in you. And this morning, the focus of our ministration is to stir up the gifts of God that are in you. There are two scriptures we are going to read from, and then we'll start going deeper and deeper into it. Get ready, because the Lord is about to take you to another level. If you believe, shout amen. So I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14, and then also read from 2 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 6. So the first one is 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse number 14, and the second one is 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. So I want to take the reading quickly. I'm reading from the NIV. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Timothy 1 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. As a background to this scriptures we have read, you know, Paul had been the one who wrote this epistle to Timothy. But hitherto, Paul's epistles were all directed to churches. All right? Paul had written letters or epistles to the Ephesians, to the church in Corinth, Romans, Galatians, and the rest. Now, Paul writes other epistles, and this time, the epistles are not directed to the churches, but directed to some particular persons. So if you look at scripture, apart from Timothy, there are people like Titus who received an epistle from Paul. And then we have Philemon who also received an epistle from Paul. For Timothy, he received two epistles. So that is why we read from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And these were all ministers of the Lord. If you look at the calling of Timothy, you realize that Timothy was an evangelist. In fact, Timothy, Titus, they were all evangelists. And you know, the call of the evangelist is a ministerial gift that Jesus gave to the church in Ephesians 4:11. That when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. So an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, these are all gifts that Jesus has given to the church or to the body of Christ. So Paul's letter, or the content of this epistle, is not necessarily to the church directly. This time it is particularly to some particular persons, and in this context it is to Timothy. All right, now I want you to understand that if you look at the role of the apostles, you realize that they were commissioned by God to work just almost the same way like evangelists, because at the time they were working hand in hand. So the apostles and the evangelists were planting churches, and they would water the churches that were planted accordingly. Most of them were itinerant ministers like Timothy, and Timothy himself was one of the first people converted by Apostle Paul, and Paul calls him Timothy, my own son in the faith, all right, because he was part or instrumental in his conversion, and you can find that in Acts chapter 16. So looking at these two scriptures we read from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you realize that the scope of these two epistles is to direct Timothy how to discharge his duty as an evangelist in the land of Ephesus, where he now had been posted to. And Paul ordered him for some time to reside there to perfect the work that he, Paul, had begun in that land. And then also play a pastoral role or charge over the church over there. He had solemnly committed it to Timothy, and then he charged him that he should take care of the flock of God that was in his hand. So if you look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, even though it was directed to, you know, it is one person, Timothy, you realize that the contents are different. But before I even go there, let me say that the Bible is not written to us, but it was written for us. The scriptures were not necessarily written to us, but it was written for us. Because in this passage, we realize that the Bible, this letter or epistle, was written to Timothy. But at the end of the day, indirectly, whatever was written to Timothy was written for us. So when God was speaking through Paul, and the writings and the epistles were being written to them, at the back of the mind of God, it was for one person, but God had us in his mind when it was written. So that every instruction and every blessing that is in that word must also work for us, because the scripture was written not to us, but it was written for us. Now, in this scripture or epistle that was written to Timothy, you realize that the first epistle and the second epistle, there's a little bit of a difference. And what is the difference? You realize that the first one had a little bit of focus on how Timothy will function in his office as an evangelist in the land. Whilst the second epistle Paul wrote to Timothy from Rome, at the time when he was a prisoner there and in danger of his life and all of that, Paul will say that I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand and all of that. You realize that the scope of that epistle was this time not relating to so much about how Timothy should function in his office as an evangelist, but rather to how he should have a he should conduct himself, personal conduct and behavior. So whilst 1 Timothy focused on his office as an evangelist or the ministerial, the 2 Timothy was rather talking about his behavior. So whilst 1 Timothy talks about much about charisma, the 2 Timothy talks about character. Now, if you look at this, I'm just trying to let you understand that even though 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are a little bit different, the name, there is something that runs through, and it is called gift. So 1 Timothy 4:14 will say that do not neglect the gifts of God, the gift of God, which you received by prophecy through the laying on of my hands. Do not neglect that gift, all right, that you received, that was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And then when you jump to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses, Paul will say again that for this reason,
I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So you see that in both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, the mention of gift runs through. This is to give us a certain idea that the gift of God, when it comes to functioning in your ministry, the giftings are very important. In the same way, when it comes to demonstrating a very good conduct and behavior, the giftings are also very important. In other words, your giftings can influence the way you behave and your conduct. At the same time, your giftings can also influence your ministry. And so, giftings are very important. So, as I said earlier, the content of the epistles is not congregational, but personal. The content is not for church members, but for church leaders. And as I said, the mention of the gift is for us to appreciate the fact that you will always be influenced by your gift when it comes to your ministry life, as in 1 Timothy. And at the same time, with your personal conduct and behavior, the gift can also influence you. So, in the next few minutes, we want to look at some three ministers who received gifts. And we want to look at how they use their gift and take some lessons from it. Am I talking to somebody? So we will look at Matthew 25, verse number 14 to 28. But we will just read the first three scriptures. You can write it down so that when you have time, you go through. So we look at Matthew chapter 25, the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 25. Verse 14 and then 14 to 16 will be fine. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So let's hold it there. So the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So you realize that the man who was traveling had servants, and then he later on gave them goods. Now the Greek word for that word goods is Hupakonta. And that hupakonta is talking about property or possessions, okay, or substance that somebody has. All right, so it's talking about goods and substances. Now when you go to verse 15, it says that unto one he gave 5 talents. So now we are able to understand what kind of substance he gave. All right. Now, that word talent is from the Greek word talanton. And talanton is just talking about weight or a sum of money. A sum of money. So we understand the kind of, you know, substance or goods the man gave the ministers. But one of the ministers received 5 talents. To another, 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straight away he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, the Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Then the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. So that one with the two also came and said the same thing. Now when it came to the one with the one, he said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. You could have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming, I should have received mine with usury. Take the talent from him and give it unto him that has 10 talents. So, people of God, from the scripture we have just read, we have been given 3 different kinds of ministers. One given 5, one given 2, one given 1. Now, I want to ask a question. The one with 5 and the other with 2, which of them had more talent than the other? Obviously, in terms of quantity, I'm sure the answer you will say is 5. But then, when you read the scriptures very well, the Bible says something different. When it comes to quantity, you will say 5 because you have compared the two. One of the things that happens is that we human beings, one of the things we do is always comparing ourselves when it comes to gifts. So you compare this pastor with another pastor, compare this one with another one. You forget the fact that the giftings, no, in the eye, God does not compare. And you forget about the fact that in God's mind, there is nothing like this person is more gifted than the other. Yeah. Because when you read the scriptures very well, I think verse number 15, he says, unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, unto another 1. Then he says, to every man according to his several ability. That word ability is from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis means ability. It means might. It means might. Alright? Or strength. So, according to your strength, God gives that gift. So, the one who was given 5 was not given 5 because he has more than, he has more than the 2. But it is just because that is his ability. The one with 2, that was his ability. The one that was given 1 was his ability. It means that if he had been given 2, he would have still not been able to work with the 2. And if he had been given 5, he would have still not used it. Even the 1, that is why he gave him only 1. And even with the 1 that was given to him, look at what happened. Assuming he was given 5 or 2. So, the moment we start comparing ourselves, then you realize that we are making a mistake. So, you see somebody who is preaching and preaches very well. And, this man is a very good preacher. Another will come and the person teaches, and then they will say, as for this one is not so much good. No, the moment we start comparing ourselves with ourselves, we are going to make a mistake. So the first thing about stirring gifts is that don't compare yourself with another. We are all different. And if you really want to stir up your gift and you start comparing yourself, you can be discouraged, or you will not be able to do much. So stop comparing yourself with, no 2 people are the same. No 2 apostles are the same. No 2 prophets are the same. No 2 pastors, no 2 singers are the same. And so you need to understand that as long as you stop comparing yourself with another person, you are already in the right place to enjoy what God has for you. So I want you to have this at the back of your mind, that you will not compare yourself with anyone because you are uniquely different and God gives you the gift according to your ability. So you are unique. There are over 7 billion people on the surface of this earth. Now, out of these 7 billion, we have about 7 different continents and we have over 195 or 196 different nations all over the world. Out of all these people, you are the only person who is like you. There is no other person like you. You are unique. You are different. You are special. Your strength is different from everybody's strength. And that is why God gave you a gift according to the strength you have. So you cannot be like any other one. And no other person can also be like you. So if nobody can be like you and you cannot be like any other person, that means that you are not supposed to compare your gift with another. So if somebody will sing and behave or do that, you can also do your own. And it is beautiful in the eyes of God. So yours may be 5, yours may be 2, yours may be 1. It doesn't mean that you are lesser than somebody or you are more than somebody. What it just means is that God has blessed all of us with everybody being gifted according to their ability. So have this at the back of your mind always, that you are not supposed to measure yourself with each other. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, the second lesson we want to pick from this scripture we just read is that if you look at verse 14, where I began from, it says that, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants." And that word servant is from the Greek word doulos. And doulos is talking about somebody who is subjected to another man. So in this case, these people were serving the man. They were servants. They were subjected to the man. They were already doing something. Then later on, the man delivered unto them the money or the gift we are talking about. So they were first servants before they were gifted. They were first servants before they received talents. They were first servants before they received money to trade with. They were not gifted before they became servants. They were not given talents before they became servants. The servanthood preceded the gifting. So if that is the case, it means that you are not gifted before becoming a servant and you are not defined by your gift. Your true identity and your real identity is not seen in your gift, but it is seen in your ability to serve. So when you didn't have gifts, you were serving. Because these people, he said, they were my own servants. Then I gave them gifts. So when they did not have the gift, they were still serving. So when they did not have the talent, they were still doing something. They were still obeying authority and serving in their capacity as subjects. But they did not have gift until later on the gifts were released. So your real identity can be seen in your ability to serve. Who you are is not by your gift. So sometimes when we see somebody is very gifted, you say, "Oh, this guy is a very good guy." No, don't compare goodness with giftings. If you are not careful, you'll be deceived. And sometimes our young women make a lot of mistakes. They'll see a young man, the guy is audacious, the guy is on fire, the guy is very prayerful. They say, "Oh, this guy will be a very nice husband." No, the fact that the guy is the leader of a spiritual group, or the fact that the guy is a pastor, does nothing to do with his character. So don't mistake charisma with character. Charisma is different, Character is different. Somebody can be very charismatic, but the person will not have any character. Somebody can have gifts, but the person will not have the ability to serve. So your real identity, if we want to know the real you, it is not in your gift. Sometimes if you are not careful, the way you see a sister singing so much on the pop, you say, this sister is very humble. This sister can be a ministry material. This sister can... No! Don't be deceived. Because gifts do not give us identity. Your identity is in your ability to serve. And this is what Jesus did. So, you realize from this scripture that before the gifts were given, they were already servants. So, the mission of these three ministers is servanthood. Servanthood is their mission, or servanthood was their mission. So your the question I want to ask is, are you serving? So the next lesson is that if you want to stir up the gift, understand that your first reason for stirring the gift is to serve. No, if you don't want to serve, if you are too big to serve, then you are too big to receive the gift. Servanthood is our mission. Servanthood is our mission. Our mission is to serve. Our mission is to serve in the kingdom of God. Our mission is to serve the body of Christ. Our mission is to serve the cause of Christ. Your mission determines your mansion. Huh. Your mission determines your mansion. Sometimes people are looking for mansions and they forget that they have a mission to fulfill. You look at people who are following after money, following after material things. I'm not saying these things are bad, but if you start making those things your focus instead of focusing on your assignment or your mission, you are making a mistake. The gift that you are seeking to stir, you must not focus on the benefit that comes from it, just like Gehazi did. At the end of the day, he suffered the consequences. So don't focus on material things and things that you gain selfishly. No. Focus on the mission. If you change the equation and flip the coin to the other side, you make a mistake. Your mission must precede your mansion. And I'm saying again that if you focus on your mission, the mansion will come. Because it is your mission that determines your mansion. Your assignment determines your consignment. And it is your vision that determines your provision. So, if you start looking at this from this perspective, then you will do well. And I am praying this morning that wherever you are, I decree and declare that may you understand these things. May you begin to appreciate the fact that God has given you, you know, something that you are not supposed to compare yourself with. You are not supposed to compare yourself with each other. I'm praying that you understand the fact that you have a mission to fulfill. And that mission is servanthood. Amen. So, servanthood must precede the giftings. Servanthood. There are people who are not willing to serve, but they want to be on pulpits. They want you to give them platforms. And they want to be known all everywhere. They want to be on flyers and billboards and posters. But it doesn't mean anything. If you are not willing to serve, then you are not ready to receive the gift. Am I talking to somebody? The next lesson is that every gift or talent has capacity to produce 100%. Every gift or talent has the capacity to produce 100%. So if you look at the one who received 5, he received 5 more. The one who got 2 also had 2 more. If all of them had not gotten, especially the 2 out of the 3, if they had not received 5 more, 2 more respectively, then we couldn't have made this statement. But once they did, two-thirds. This is to tell us that every gift or talent has the capacity to produce 100%. 100%. So, whatever God has given you is a seed. Whatever gift you have. Now, think about how to sow the seed and make it produce 100%. Are you with me? Think about that. Think about that. How do you get your gift or talent? So you must work hard. Work at it. Work at your voice. Do the training. Build your capacity. Do personal development. Every gift can produce 100%. If the master returns and your gift has not even increased to 2%, you have wasted the money, wasted the gift and the talent. Now, on the last day, when you give account on this earth, what you did, one of the things you give account on is your gift. Apart from your Christian life and everything, you will give account on how, whether you used your gift or not and how you used it. Yeah. So whatever God has given you, seek to produce 100% of it. It is a seed. If you can sing, it is a seed. If yours is writing, it's a seed. If yours is serving, it's a seed. So make sure you are building capacity to produce 100%. In other words, maximize the gift. Maximize the talent and the potential. Use it and use it and use it so that it will yield 100% results. Are we together? The other lesson, the next lesson is that God rewards those who are able to work with their talents. No matter who you are, you realize that at the end of the day, he said to the one who had five more, good and faithful servant. And the two, he said, good and faithful servant. That was the reward. God will only reward you when you use your talent. If you don't use it, if you don't work with it, you cannot be rewarded. So if you are looking for reward, then use your gift. That is why I'm praying that in this meeting, God shall stir you up and you begin to use the gift of God. The next lesson is that God likes profitable children. When the two were profitable, he was happy. When the other one was not profitable, he said, you are a wicked and slothful servant. They said, cast him. I like that one. He said, cast him away. Cast him away. Cast him away. The guy was indeed wicked. He said, I was afraid and I went to hide your money in the ground. He said, you were a wicked and a slothful servant. You know that I don't sow and I reap. So you know, why didn't you give it to the bankers or something? Say, take what is in his hand from him. Yeah, take it from him. And cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we call him unprofitable. That word unprofitable is from the Greek word akrios. Akrios. And akrios means useless. Unmeritorious. Useless servant. So that unprofitable servant, that guy, that minister who didn't use the gift, is a useless one. He cast him into the outer darkness. Akrios. An akrios minister is a minister who is useless. When you are declared useless, it means that there is nothing we can use you for. We can't even give you 0.5 talent anymore. Even one, you couldn't use it. You are useless. Akrios. Look at somebody and ask the person, are you akrios or you are something else? Turn to another person and say, are you akrios? So don't be an akrios minister. Don't be an akrios Christian. You see, if you look at 1 Timothy, as I said earlier, the focus was on ministry. 2 Timothy, the focus was on personal conduct and behavior. And that is how every average Christian should live. So it means comparing the two, whether you are a Christian or you are into ministry, you are supposed to still use your gift. Don't be an acrious Christian and don't be an acrious minister. You must be profitable, profitable. You must be profitable. Don't be acrious. Am I talking to somebody? God likes profitable children. The next lesson is that everyone is equally gifted and talented. As I said earlier, you are gifted because God checked your ability and He gave you the gift. So we are all gifted. At the end of the day, how do I know this? When the man came back to give rewards and accolades, he said, "Good and faithful servant." He didn't say anything much or less to the other one who had two. So this is to tell you that we are all going to be rewarded the same way, according to our ability. Somebody will have two. Somebody will be in charge of a certain local church, a very local church in a local community that is not even known on any map. But the guy will work so hard. Maybe the members in that church will be 5 people. The guy will work hard and make sure the 5 people are grounded in Christ and their salvation is secured in heaven and they all go to heaven. Now somebody too will be given an international ministry. Everybody knows him in the whole world. He has a following and a crowd of over 2 million people. He's able to take 500,000 people to heaven. Where are the rest? You realize that he, even though 500,000 is more than the 5 people of the other pastor, but he still has a lot who have not done anything. The two of them, if you ask me who is going to receive a reward better, more than the other, I would say the one who had 5. Because all of them went. So you see, it is not about comparison. Everyone is equally gifted and talented. So if you look at it from that perspective, you will always be appreciative. You will always be, you know, you will appreciate what God has given you. So please use your gift. Don't measure yourself with another. Use your gift. Don't measure yourself with another. Use your gift. Use your gift. So, in conclusion, I just want to sound this thing that God is looking at capacity before the gift. He gave everyone according to their ability. So it means that God will give you the gift according to what you are able to do. According to what you are able to do. And I am praying that God shall help you so that you will be able to use your gift well. Now, after talking about all these lessons, let's now look at, in conclusion, how to stir the gift. Right now, I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen and amen. Let's look at how to stir the gift. We understand in Romans 11:29 that the gift and callings of God are irrevocable. This means that God will not take his gift from you once he's given it to you. And that is truth. However, understand that a person's gift can grow, develop, and become very sharp depending on how the vessel carries himself or herself about. There are things you do which can keep the gift alive and sharp. All right? And there are things you do which will quench the gift. There are things you do which will quench the gift. So you need to understand that God has a role to play. You also have a role to play. Remember, Paul said to Timothy that fan into flame. He didn't say tell God to fan into flame. So the fanning into flame is your responsibility. You have a role to play. The first thing I want to tell you is the first thing how to stir the gift is studying the word of God. Every gift is traceable to the word. Every gift, every ministry and call is traceable to the word of God. It is the word of God that produces giftings in us. Music is connected to the word. If you look at the book of Psalm, everything there is music. And everything there is in the word. The music we sing or the songs we sing or produce are all lyrics. And these are all things from the word. Every gift is traceable to the word. The prophetic is traceable to the word. The apostolic is traceable to the word. The apostle is supposed to preach the word of God. The evangelist is supposed to preach the word of God. The prophet is supposed to declare and give us revelation of the word of God. The pastor is supposed to feed the flock with the word of God. The teacher is supposed to teach the sound doctrines of the word of God. Every gift is traceable to the word. And I've observed that a lot of people don't make time to study the word of God for themselves. People don't have devotional lives at all. They do all things but the word. They don't have time. They are too busy. You see, the Bible is infallible and supreme. The Bible is for all of us. You need to know the word because it is the source of every gift. If you cut off yourself from this source, you will err. So a lot of people are gifted, but they are erring because they have cut themselves from the word. Some people are prophets, teachers. Because you are not studying the word, you are not becoming sharp. You are teaching error. You are deceiving us. A worship leader does not have the word. They come to stand on stage and they are just entertaining. They are not ministering. You see, the Bible is a supernatural book with so much life and power. And if you can go into the word, and if you can give yourself to the word, you'll be a wonder. So in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word. Studying the word will make you know the word at a go. And understand that God speaks to us through his word. So as you go out there to even function and use your gift, you realize that as you go deep into the word, and you stay with the word will also stay with you. And when the word stays with you, the world will come looking for the word that is with you. The second thing, how to stir the gift, is staying away from sin. The ultimate plan of God is that God wants to use vessels who have purged themselves from sin and consecrated themselves unto holiness. That's the kind of vessels God is looking for. Anytime sin is introduced into a person's life, the sin becomes a threat to the relationship he has with the Holy Spirit. Sin quenches the spirit. Sin destroys the anointing. Sin clouds the gift. Nobody will put new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the old wineskin will burst and the wine will spill over and it is wasted. So, if you really want to stir your gift, you must desire to walk under a deep realm of a consecrated life. Holiness is a must if you want the Holy Spirit to use you mightily. If you keep yourself pure, you will become a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Stay away from sin. So that your gift would not be contaminated. Stay away from sin. There are people who have gifted, but they are doing all kinds of things. All kinds. But the Bible says that if a man shall purge himself, if a man shall purge himself, he shall become a useful vessel, profitable for every good work. Are we together? Yeah. Bible says that you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you. Hebrews 1:9. So, as somebody that seeks to stir the gift. If you really, you cannot be stirring and you are walking in sin. There's nothing to stir. Nothing will stir. Stay away from sin. Am I talking to somebody? The other thing about stirring the gift is the secret of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting releases the supernatural. It gives you the ability to control your flesh and bring it to subjection. The more effective your fasting and prayer life is, the more effective your giftings will be. I believe in long fastings a lot because it has a way of releasing the gifts. Yeah, it has a way of releasing the gift. So, if you are going to also fast, make sure that you don't just abstain from food. Make sure you are not starving, but you are fasting. Make sure you fast and pray in the atmosphere of the Word of God that is able to give you a strong grounding. Fasting and prayer will open up your spirit to receive, to the spirit world, actually. So if you are not feeding on the Word, you become vulnerable to all kinds of spirits. So it's important that whilst you are fasting and praying, the Word must be part. Fasting and prayer will sharpen your gifts. It will make you sensitive. It will make you sharp. When you stand to sing, when you stand to preach, when you stand to share the Word of God, you will become different. Your Word will come with power. It will flow with life. Your singing will not be to entertain, but whilst you are ministering, the hopeless will find hope. The sick will be healed. Why? Because you are a man or a woman of prayer and fasting. A lot of believers lose their prayer life and their fasting life in a season. Today they are prayer, for tomorrow they are not. You see, it is very easy to preach and teach, but it takes sacrifice to pray. Prayer is a work of sacrifice. Prayer is a work of sacrifice. So you must be disciplined in prayer and fasting. You must be intentional. Engage God in prayer. Sometimes you have to set some 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks aside just praying and fasting about your gift. I'm telling you. And you will see how God will. I am praying this morning. May the Lord increase your appetite for prayer and increase your appetite for fasting in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout a big amen where you are. Yeah. Because of time, let me just move on. One of the other things you can do to stir your gift is to exercise your gifts by faith. There are many giftings according to the grace that is given to us. According to Romans 12 says, he said, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us, whether prophecy, so then he just gives an example, according to the proportion of faith. So you must, if you want to stir your gift, have faith. Sometimes people are scared. And this is why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Because fear can cripple your gift. The first time you prophesied, nobody mind you. And you were like, did I really prophesy well or not? It has happened to me before. And sometimes you ask yourself, then next time I won't even prophesy. The way some people also give you a certain look and you realize that, if you are not careful, you will not. And sometimes you pray for the sick and the person is not healed. The person dies. Say, what's wrong? You must have faith. Don't give up. Faith is what makes everything possible in our kingdom. When faith is down, you cannot exercise your gift. Faith will bring you to the realm of God. Faith is very powerful. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you must spend time developing your faith. Sometimes you can do that by listening to sermons, by reading the Bible, by listening to tapes. Faith also comes by praying in tongues. Ha yagada. Jude verse 20 says, building yourselves up upon your most holy faith, upon your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Ghost. So If your gift will be stirred, then you must work on your faith. Amen and amen. The other thing about stirring the gift is to have what I called mentors. What I called mentors. Everybody needs a mentor when it comes to gift. No matter who you are not the first person to operate in this gift. No matter who you are not the first person to walk in this dimension of gift. Somebody has been there before you did. So you should humble yourself under your pastor, under your prophet, under your man of God, and learn. Ask questions and learn. Samuel was a prophet. Eli was a priest. But Samuel humbled himself before Eli. It took the priest to train the prophet. So the fact that you have a prophetic gift does not mean that you need a prophet to mentor you. There are prophets who were raised by pastors. There are evangelists who were raised by teachers. So humble yourself and learn. Have a mentor. A mentor is an experienced and a trusted advisor. Someone who trains, counsels, and guides a younger colleague to do the same things he does or even things he does not do. And even more, a mentor can be a teacher, a confidant, a father, or a mother. You see, but your mentor should be able to rebuke you when you go wrong. Otherwise, that is not a mentor. Yeah. If your mentor cannot rebuke you when you go wrong, then that person is not a mentor. Joshua was mentored by Moses. Moses was mentored by Jethro. Samuel was mentored by Eli. David was mentored by Nathan the prophet. Elisha was mentored by Elijah. The 12 disciples were mentored by the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy and Titus and Philemon were all mentored by Apostle Paul. So there is nothing new under the sun. Every gift you have and you desire to operate in, understand that somebody has done it before. So look for mentors. Prayerfully consider this and look for mentors. Sometimes your mentor may not be physically present with you. The person may be far away in another continent. So what do? You look for their tapes. You look for their books. You invest into it. And as you do this, there will be an impartation that will be released to you. Oh my God. I am praying that the Lord will give you grace. I am praying that the Lord will give you grace. I am praying that the Lord will give you grace. So as you do these things, you discover that God will be your giftings will be coming alive. Your giftings will be coming alive. Why? Because some things will be changing. I am praying that God will begin to release some things into your life right now. I am praying that God will begin to stir up some things in your spirit, man. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, in the next 2 minutes, we are going to pray. John chapter 7, verse 38, and I'll bring it to an end. The Bible says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. You see, that word belly does not mean stomach. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. That word belly does not mean what? Stomach. Yeah. The original Greek word for that word belly is koilia. And that word koilia is talking about the heart. In other words, it's talking about the spirit. So even though we can say it is the belly, even though we can say belly, but it is not necessarily belly, it's not your stomach. We are talking about your spirit, man. Out of your spirit, man, out of your heart will flow the rivers of living water. That is what Jesus said. So in the next 2 minutes, we are lifting a prayer. I want you to put your hands on your belly or put your hands on your heart. And we are praying that, oh God, Let out of my heart flow forth the gift. Every deposit of gift in me, let it be stirred. Let it be activated. Let me receive impartation of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, put your hands on your belly and begin to pray right now that, oh God, let there be an activation. Let there be a stirring. Anazopurio, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Lift up your voice and pray. Begin to pray. The Bible said, out of the belly shall flow. Let it flow. Your giftings are flowing. The giftings are flowing. Every dimension of gift you operate in, the giftings are working now. There is a stirring. There is a stirring. There is a stirring. Mato bakataliate iparakatote mapantalibi kumpaya izanteneme kopa rantinkitikata amponiakata isabakoya iparatia iveleke impaniantele. Oh my God, let there be a stirring. 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 Oh bakaya talaba. Hey kati tatata. Riboshata yakata. Immanananananda. Ikotibakatakata. Ratuman yakatakata. Let there be a stirring, Lord. Let there be a stirring, Lord. Let there be a stirring, Lord. Let there be a stirring, oh God. Let there be a stirring. A stirring. Divine activations. Divine activations. Makom palakata. Intakata. Inkata. 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 Aputakata. Atuakete. Ikitiata. Ikuvalia. Ivaliate. Imparaka. Antolokoto. Isakatakata. Oh, a stirring. Oh, a stirring. Oh, a stirring. Oh, a stirring. My God, in the name of Jesus, I release that gift and impartation over your life. I command the gift in you to come alive. Everything dead in you is revived in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May we meet again with your giftings flowing ceaselessly. You are blessed. You are favored. Oh, I said you are blessed and you are favored. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.